Hey there, I'm Heather Mulder, a former AmLaw 100 partner who just 5 years into my legal career found myself teetering on the edge of burnout. So that I didn't become yet another attorney burnout statistic, I decided it was time to redefine success from the inside out. Fast forward a few years and it worked. I had a thriving legal career balanced with a fulfilling life. What I learned is that you can achieve the success you want without sacrificing yourself in the process. And I'm on a mission to help you do exactly that. Join me each week for practical, unfiltered advice on how to successfully navigate the challenging legal market and succeed in both law and life. This is the Life in Law Podcast. Do you suffer from what I like to call the lawyer's paradox? You're successful on paper, big house, check. Great car, check. Enough money in the bank account, check. Take fabulous vacations, check, check. And yet, you don't actually get to enjoy most of those vacations. You spend most of your time in the hotel room while your family is out having fun. Bouncing from one emergency to another, you realize, what am I actually working on? It feels like I never have the time for my actual priorities, and I am spending a lot of my time, if not almost all of it, doing things I don't even want to be doing. You question whether it's even reasonable to expect to have any semblance of balance and make partner, have your own practice, have your own firm, become an equity partner. The list could go on. Why is it everybody else looks to you as a success, and yet you can't help but think this can't be all there is? What's going on here? That, my friends, is the lawyer's paradox, and it is what we are getting into today. How to spot it, how to know when to stop, and how to start letting go, getting beyond it, and actually getting to a place where you feel more fulfilled, both professionally and personally, which, by the way, y'all, means having more balance. Hey there, this is Heather Mulder, host of the Life in Law Podcast, and I'm happy to have you here with me today because this is such a big issue with attorneys. I hear it all the time. Questions of, is it even worth it? Or should I just give it all up and go do something else? Yet worrying that everybody's going to figure out you don't actually like what you do and they're going to think you're absolutely crazy. So you think you can't admit how you feel and you never talk about it, making you feel even worse. You feel guilt because you feel this way. You feel guilt because you're not actually taking very good care of yourself. You feel guilt because you feel like you're not making a big enough impact. You feel guilt because you even feel that way. How do you stop it? So before we get into the how, the steps I want you to take to kind of rectify things, let's figure out how you got here in the first place, because this is really important. And it's going to be a key for your next steps, okay? Many of us lawyers go into the law for a reason, for a purpose, right? We have this kind of vision of making a bigger impact, making a difference, and wanting to help, wanting to serve in some way, shape, or form. And by the way, this doesn't have to be like a save the world kind of a thing, and it often isn't. It is a very specific, though, vision, kind of feeling, kind of idea around, look, I have certain gifts and talents, I have certain strengths, I have certain skills. This is the best place for me to utilize that and do good in the world, whatever that might be. So when I became a finance attorney and decided I want to be a finance attorney, and that was a very intentional decision, it was because of my skill set. It was because of what I was good at. And no, I wasn't going to go quote unquote save the world, but I knew what I was doing was good for society because what I did allowed companies to get loans so that they could have their startup business, so that they could grow their business bigger, so that they could serve the people they needed to serve, so that they could have more employees that they cared for and took care of and allowed to have good lives. That was big enough for me. That was good enough for me. So you could be talking about that. You could also be talking about, you know, bigger picture things. We all have our different reasons, but we go into this for a very values-based purpose. There's your clue there right now, right? Values-based purpose. And then we get out there And we find that there are all these billable requirements if we go into a big law firm or even a medium-sized law firm or even a small-sized law firm, right? And hours, hours, hours. It's about the billable hour, and you start focusing on that. And then you start getting pulled in a million different directions, and you have a lot of pressure to deliver exceptional results in a very short period of time, which then gets you feeling a bit overwhelmed, which then gets you trying to find ways to fix it while still feeling pressured and overwhelmed and stressed out and having to work longer hours. You end up oftentimes working late nights, working weekends. And the next thing you know, you start going down a path of money becomes more important than the reason you ever got there. Now, last week, we talked about money shaming, and this is not about shaming yourself or, you know, this is one way we start to shame ourselves over money, because we start to lose sight of that purpose, that values-based purpose that had us choose the law in the first place. Because when you're working that much, when you're doing that much, when you're starting to, you know, especially when you're a younger attorney and you feel like you're always at the beck and call of a partner. And then frankly, let's be honest, many of us who get more senior and even become partners feel like we're at the beck and call of our clients sometimes. You're like, well, at least I'm making good money. And so it becomes kind of an excuse for that, which then morphs into the reason why you're doing it. And you lose sight of that original values-based reason that had you choose the law in the first place, that had you choose the thing that you do, your firm, your type of clients, your industry, whatever it is, this is how you initially get off path. Now, something to note here. If you never had a values-based reason, if you went to law school because it was the thing to do, because it was the obvious next step based on your major in college, based on what other people told you you'd be good at, based on what the expectations were of you, or maybe the economy was just really bad when you graduated and it made sense to just keep going in school and, hey, law school sounds like something I could do well at, I'll just go there, right? You might have chosen law for non-purpose-based reasons, which could mean, doesn't 100% mean, by the way, but it could mean you're in the wrong profession for you. There is nothing wrong with choosing a profession partly because you want to make good money. But wanting money and money alone isn't going to be a good enough reason for you internally to sustain yourself, especially within a career that's as demanding as the law is, that's service-based. And I would actually posit that there's many careers are demanding just in different ways, right? It often doesn't keep us going enough anyway. You need to be able to enjoy what you do, to utilize your strengths in a way that you enjoy doing them, and to actually have a bigger reason for wanting to do it as well. That is more sustainable in the long term. So if you are one of those people who are like, Heather, I had no vision. I just wanted to make money because I needed to pay off loans. And I just went into law school because it seemed the thing to do. It's what everybody told me I should do, and I never gave thought to it. And you either know for sure you don't really want to be a lawyer, but you feel stuck, or maybe you're not sure. You chose it for all kinds of reasons, and they weren't the best reasons, but you're not even sure. Maybe you could be happy as a lawyer, but you don't know. What you do know is maybe you're not in the right firm or industry or working with the right clients. The answers are going to be similar for what I'm going through today, values again. But I actually have a couple of things I want you to listen to. There is a podcast where I interviewed Sarah Cottrell from the Former Lawyer podcast. And we go specifically into, you know, this issue of people going into the law for all the wrong reasons, not really because they wanted to, but because it was the thing to do, or somebody thought they should, or, you know, all these things that maybe that really wasn't their best choice. You want to go back and listen to that if you haven't. And she has some resources also to help people out. So I will put a link to that in the show notes. So listen to this and then go back and listen to that as well. But if you did go in for all the, you know, quote unquote, right reasons, and I don't know if that I'd love this terminology, right versus wrong, but internally the right reasons. You know, you had a bigger purpose. You knew why you wanted to go. It was values-based. And somehow you have just completely lost sight of that. You don't need to listen to that other episode. What you do need to listen to this one, okay? So how do you know which one you are? If you are looking back and saying, man, the reality of being a lawyer isn't what I thought it was. It's not always so glorious. Clients are massively demanding. The work can be really tedious. I'm dissatisfied with where I am. I'm not making a big enough impact. I'm not doing the things I thought I'd be doing. That is very likely the lawyer's paradox that I'm talking about, that we're getting into today. If you are, yeah, I don't even think this is right for me because I never really had a purpose for this. I just kind of did it. Then you want to, yes, go back to your values again, but start questioning whether this is even the right profession for you so that you can let go and find a better fit for you. So what's the answer? Your values. This can't come as a surprise, y'all. I talk about values all the time. Your values. It's time to reacquaint yourself with them, to reconnect to them, whatever you want to call it. So what are values? Values are those beliefs, those principles that guide you. They are built within you over time, from the time you are born on up into young adulthood. You are forming your own values, and you form them based on your own experiences, people around you, the lessons you choose to learn, and they become like rules, principles that guide your decision making. That flavor how you see the world. They kind of provide a lens through which you see the world and create some of the beliefs around what you think is right and wrong, around how you should treat people, around how you expect to be treated yourself. Those are all values, okay? And we all have values, and nobody's values are exactly the same. And in fact, you can have two people saying they have the same top two or three values, and yet they're very different because they define them differently. So the first step is figuring out, well, what are yours? You probably have a sense of your own values, right? But have you sat down and put pen to paper and said, okay, this is what they are. This is the word I use for this value. And here's exactly how I define what it means to me. If you have not done it, that is your first step. What words describe your top values? And then how would you define what that means to you? What does that look like? What does that mean? If service is a value, this is one of mine, you could describe it as serving a bigger purpose, making a bigger impact. I have a client whose value is also service, but she defines it that way. She needs to find a bigger meaning, bigger impact. And when she came to me, she didn't feel like her current role within her firm and the clients she was serving had any real impact. And over time, we figured out how to fill that gap, which I'll get into more later. My value of service originally was always doing my absolute best in whatever capacity that I could. So if I was, working for a client, I did my absolute best. I thought through all the issues. I picked up the phone and reached out to them anytime I could. I didn't ignore things. I didn't procrastinate. I did my best and I held myself to pretty high standards. That was fulfilling my value of service. I will tell you, so I said earlier about oftentimes values are formed early in life throughout childhood and into young adulthood. And that is true. Most of our values are pretty well cemented by the time we're in our mid to upper 20s. However, sometimes they change due to experiences, like big life experiences, or new values get introduced. Or we still have the same top 5 to 8 values, but their order of importance changes. So oftentimes we have one or two that are like the hierarchical, these are the absolute most important things. And then we have other values that are really important to us. And we still need to be aligned to them, but they're not as important as that top one or two or three things, right? So life events can change them in that way. They can change how you define it. They can change the hierarchy. They can also introduce a new value. So my experience of cancer changed my value of service and brought in kind of an inspirational note. And it was interesting because I struggled for a long time with what that meant. It took me a while to figure it out. This is probably the number one reason why, actually, it's not probably, y'all. It is the number one reason why I ended up leaving my law practice and forming this business, and also why I started this podcast. Because to serve people to the best of my ability in whatever capacity I was expected to in that moment was no longer enough. That is still part of serving people for me. But after my cancer, after my experience of people coming out the woodwork to help me, to help my husband, to help my family in so many ways that I never thought was possible, I felt like I needed to give back in a bigger way. And service took on a more inspirational tone. There is an aspect to that value for me that now is about making a bigger impact in people's lives, is about paying it forward and doing, you know, what I can to help as many people as humanly possible, which is ultimately why I started feeling so uncomfortable practicing. The practice didn't change, and I still enjoyed all of the things about the practice, but that value changed, and I wasn't able to fulfill it just practicing law. So that's ultimately what led me out. So big life experiences like having cancer, a death in the family, an illness, like there's all kinds of things, a divorce, right? Those can also impact your values. So yes, you need to go through an exercise now of figuring out, okay, what are my values? What do they mean to me? But also be on the lookout in the future when big things happen that test you, that challenge you, that are unexpected, when you go through tough experiences, check back in after those experiences. And let me just say, they're not always apparent immediately. You got to give it a little bit of time, but you need to check back with yourself, especially if you just feel off. That was me. I felt off. Like I could see me. I looked like me. I sounded like me, but I didn't feel like me anymore. And I had to figure out what that was. Check back in and figure out, okay, this has happened. Maybe it's changed my values. Let's figure that out. And figuring out your values, for some people, this is a really easy exercise. You'll be able to just write it down. For others, it's a lot harder. This is something I do help my clients with. And what I would say is, I mean, I have a whole resource that I utilize within my coaching. If you would like it, reach out to me. Email me, heather@heathermulder.com. I'm happy to send it to you. Seriously, no opt-in required. I will send it to you. Just reach out to me via email. But you can get started by asking questions. Questions like, when have I felt most at ease and content in my life? What was going on? How was I living my life? How was I showing up every day? What words describe that? Those might be values. Also look at the flip side. When have I felt most unsettled, untethered in life? What was going on? What about that untethered, unsettling experience was about me and how I was showing up in the decisions I was making? What rule or principle do I typically like to follow that I wasn't? That's a value. Okay? Look to those moments that were most content, most at ease, and those moments where you were most discontent and really felt unsettled and untethered and ungrounded within yourself because of how you were living, how you were showing up, and you're going to uncover themes, and those are going to show you your values. The other thing I will say is when you are figuring this out, you do not want to just assign a word. You've got to define what they mean. So remember, I said earlier, my value of service includes in everything I do, doing the best I can, given my current situation, circumstances, knowledge, etc. And also, always trying to find a way to pay it forward and to make a bigger impact as much as I can. So you need to define it because a word in and of itself isn't enough. You want to have that word because it's kind of a quick connection point for you, but you also need to define what it means to you. So that's step one, reconnect to your values, get clarity around the word you want to use for each one, and define them very specifically. Once you do that, you start to figure out, where am I misaligned? Where is there a gap? Choose how you want to think about it. A gap or misalignment means, where am I not fully honoring this value in how I'm living my life, in how I'm showing up, in the decisions that I'm making, in the industry that I've chosen, in the firm that I'm with, in, you know, the clients that I'm representing? You've got to figure out the gap, that misalignment, whatever you want to call it, so that you can determine your next steps to getting yourself closer. The ultimate goal is to fully align yourself. And here's the deal, y'all. This means change, which we don't love, right? It means you might need to let go of some clients because you don't like how they practice something or do something. So case in point, I had a client a couple of years ago who came to me completely unbalanced, really in this lawyer's paradox, where she had this big vision of where she wanted her practice to be and what she wanted to do. And frankly, on paper, she had checked all the boxes. She had made partner at Warp Speed. She was now an equity partner. She was on the leadership committee. She's being tagged as somebody who they'd like to take over to be managing shareholder of the entire firm one day. I mean, she's checking all the boxes, y'all. And yet she felt like she was an imposter. She kept thinking, oh my God, people probably look at me and they see me as a role model and I have to laugh. Because there's no way. All I can think is, why would anybody want this life? I'm not happy. I don't like most of my clients. I spend not just a majority, but probably 80%+ of my time doing a bunch of things I don't even want to be doing. How can I be this unhappy and this quote unquote successful? Sometimes I just want to completely walk away. That's the lawyer's paradox, y'all. And after working together, total 360, felt balanced, felt tethered and grounded, and knew that she wasn't ready to give up. She was in the same firm, still on leadership, but she dropped a couple of committees. She realized she was a little unbalanced. But you know what the real fix was for her? It was getting back to her values. Getting back to her values. We got into her values. We defined them clearly. We figured out the gaps and started taking steps to align herself to them. And one of those steps were some of the clients she had she needed to let go of. Because she realized that in the industry she was in, it had gotten really easy. You know, again, this goal, we come in to these firms and we have these billable hour requirements. And then the next step is to start building your own book of business. And then you're supposed to get it to a certain level. And the next thing you know, you've done all those things. But have you done it with the right clients? Have you done it in the right industry? Are you within the right firm even? If you're not, you're going to feel very untethered. Yes, you may have checked all those boxes, but you're unhappy because you're not doing what you really want to be doing. There are other ways to make good money, y'all. She needed to drop some clients that she'd taken on because it seemed like the thing you were supposed to do to grow the business to the amount she was supposed to make equity partner. They were doing things that felt wrong to her. She didn't like some of their business practices. She really didn't like them that much. And so over that course of time, when we figured that out, we came up with a plan. It's not like she dropped them like a hot potato, like immediately, but over about a 6-month period, she stopped doing work for them. And she started putting together standards for who her clients needed to be, the type of practices they needed to do. You know, what are her requirements, her kind of guardrails for a good client? And she stopped taking in those types of clients. That made a huge difference. The other thing she did is she realized there were a couple of colleagues who were over-reliant on her, who just had work that she didn't like doing. And frankly, she didn't need to be doing it. She was probably not even the best person to do it, but because they had gotten so reliant on her and she was such an easy go-to, and she always said yes and never had boundaries, they went to her all the time and she continued to say yes. So she had to learn to put some boundaries in place and start saying no more often to guard her time. This opened up more opportunities for her to bring in more of the kind of clients she wanted and give away more work to other people, which was a better utilization of her time, experience, gifts, strengths within her firm. And so she massively turned it around. So this is the kind of thing I'm talking about. It does mean change. And the type of change is going to vary. I have another client that when we got in and figured out his values, it became very clear that the firm he was at was not the long-term right firm fit for him. He had wanted to make partner. He had struggled to make partner. He felt like the goalpost kept being moved. And when we looked at it, it was like, you know what? You don't even fit in here. Like, your values are completely mismatched to the firm. And so we found another place. And now he's very happy building a big book of business. He is a partner. It's like night and day, different person, different practice, different everything, because he followed his values. That's what I'm talking about. You've got to know what they are. You've got to define them clearly. You got to figure out where you misaligned, and you've got to start taking steps to be more aligned with them, which does mean change. Now, doesn't always mean leaving your firm. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it's small changes, like changing a couple of clients, like putting a couple of boundaries together. Don't be afraid of that change. It is so, and I mean so, worthwhile. Being an attorney requires a lot of you. Yes, you can get paid the big bucks. Yes, you have a prestigious title. Yes, you're respected in the community. But it takes a lot from you. When you are, we're in a client service industry, which means pressure, which means tough deadlines, which means difficult solutions. It can also be incredibly fun, right? But because of the toll it can take, you want to ensure that you are aligning your practice, your firm, your goals, your clients, and how you show up every single day in your representation of them in the work that you do to your values. Knowing your values is the key to becoming happily successful and staying away from the lawyer's paradox. Final note, when you do this, this makes attracting the right clients to you easier because you're showing up more as you, you're more aligned to who you truly are, you're going to attract more people like you to you. So it makes that easier. All right. That is it for today. Final note, I mentioned the work that I do with values. If that is something of benefit to you, please do reach out to me. I can send you my assessment. I'm happy to do that. And if you are thinking, you know, you want to go even deeper and you want to build a more values-based practice and grow it in that way, then be sure to get signed up for the waitlist for Elevate, my attorney business building mastermind. It is currently not accepting new applications, but we will be shortly, before you know it, this fall. And so you're going to want to go ahead and sign up for that. You will be the first to know it if you get on the wait list. I will put a link to that in the show notes. That's it for this week. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to the Life and Law Podcast. If you enjoyed this week's episode and aren't yet a follower or subscriber, be sure to hit the follow and or subscribe button so that you don't miss an episode. For show notes and free resources to help you succeed in both life and law, including the Life and Law Roadmap, visit lifeandlawpodcast.com.